Chapter 35. Sharp Lessons. The Heart of the Stone in Tel Iran Riyadh was as Egwene remembered it in the real world, huge polished redstone columns rising to a distant ceiling, and beneath the great central dome, Kalandor driven into the pale floor stones. Only people were missing. The golden lamps were not lit, yet there was a sort of light, somehow dim and sharp at the same time, that seemed to come from everywhere at once, or nowhere. It was often like that, indoors in Tel Iran Riyadh. What she did not expect was the woman standing beyond the glittering crystal sword and peering off into the pallid shadows among the columns. The way she was dressed startled Egwene. Bare feet and wide trousers of brocaded yellow silk. Above a darker yellow sash, she was quite bare, except for gold chains hanging around her neck. Tiny gold rings decorated her ears in sparkling rows, and, most startling of all, another pierced her nose, with a thin medallion-lined chain running from nose ring to one of the rings in her left ear. "Elaine?" Egwene gasped, gathering her shawl around her as though she were the one with no blouse. She had garbed herself as a wise one this time, for no particular reason. The daughter heir leaped, and when she came down facing Egwene, she was wearing a demure gown of pale green with a high embroidered neck and long sleeves that dangled points over her hands. No earrings, no nose ring. "It is how the sea folk women dress at sea," she said hurriedly, with a furious blush. "I wanted to see how it felt, and this seemed the best place. I couldn't do it on the ship, after all." "How does it feel?" Egwene asked curiously. "Cold, actually." Elaine looked around at the surrounding columns. "And it makes you feel people are staring at you, even when there's no one there." Abruptly, she laughed. "Poor Tom and Julian. They do not know where to look most of the time. Half the crew are women." Studying the columns herself, Egwene shrugged uncomfortably. It did feel as if they were being watched. No doubt it was just because they were the only people in the stone. No one who had access to Tel Iran Riyadh could expect to find anyone to watch here. "Tom? Tom Marilyn? And Julian Sandar? Are they with you?" "Oh, Egwene, Rand sent them. Rand and Lan. Well, Moiraine sent Tom, actually, but Rand sent Master Sandar to help us. Nynaeve is quite set up about it, about Lan, though of course she won't let on." Egwene smothered a small smile. Nynaeve was set up. Elaine's face was beaming, and her dress had changed again to a much lower neckline, apparently without her realizing it. The Turangrial, the twisted stone ring, helped the daughter heir reach the world of dreams as easily as Egwene did, but it did not confer control. That had to be learned. Stray thoughts, such as how she might like to look for Rand, could still alter things for Elaine.
"How is he?"
Elaine's voice was a strange blend of forced casualness and apprehension.
"Well," Egwene said, "I think he is."
She made it a full report. The portal stones and Roydian, as much as she knew from what she had heard, what she had managed to infer from talk of seeing through ancestors' eyes, the strange creature from the dragon banner marked on Rand's forearms, Bear's revelation that he was the Aiel's doom, the summons of the clan chiefs to Al-Kair Dal. Amis and the other wise ones should be doing that even now. She fervently hoped they were. She even told the strange story of Rand's true parents in a shorter form.
"I don't know, though. He has been acting stranger than ever since, and Matt hardly less. I don't mean that he's mad, but he is as hard as Ruark or Lan, in some ways at least, maybe harder. He's planning something, I think. Something he doesn't mean anybody to know, and he is in a rush to get to it. It is worrying. Sometimes I have the feeling he doesn't see people anymore, only pieces on a stone's board."
Elaine did not look worried, or not about that, at any rate.
"He is what he is, Egwene. A king or a general cannot always afford to see people. When a ruler has to do what is right for a nation, there are times when some will be hurt by what is best for the whole. Rand is a king, Egwene, even if without a nation unless you count Tyr, and if he won't do anything that will hurt anyone, he will end by hurting everyone. Egwene sniffed. It might make sense, but she did not have to like it. People were people, and they had to be seen as people. There is more. Some of the wise ones can channel. I don't know how many, but I suspect more than a few to some degree. From what Amys tells me, they find every last woman who has the spark born in her. No Aiel women died trying to teach themselves to channel while not even knowing what they were trying to do. There was no such thing as a wilder among the Aiel. Men who learned they could channel faced a grimmer fate. They went north to the Great Blight, and maybe beyond, to the Blasted Lands and Shael Ghul, going to kill the Dark One, they called it. None survived long enough to face madness. Avienda is one with the spark, it turns out. She'll be very strong, I think. Amys thinks so, too. Avienda, Elaine said, wonderingly. Of course. I should have known. I felt the same kinship for Jorin on first sight that I did for her, and for you, for that matter. Jorin? Elaine grimaced. I promised I would keep her secret, and the first chance I get I let my tongue run wild. Well, I don't suppose you will harm her or her sisters. Jorin is Windfinder on Wavedancer, Egwene. She can channel, and so can some of the other Windfinders. She glanced at the columns around them, and her neckline was suddenly back up under her chin. She adjusted a dark lace shawl that had not been there a moment before, covering her hair and shadowing her face. Egwene, you mustn't tell anyone. Jorin is afraid the Tower will try to force them to become Aes Sedai, or try to control them in some fashion. I promised I would do what I can not to let that happen. I won't tell, Egwene said slowly. Wise ones and Windfinders, women able to channel among both, and none who had taken the three oaths bound by the oath rod. The oaths were supposed to make people trust Aes Sedai, or at least not fear their power, but Aes Sedai still had to move in secret as often as not. Wise ones, and Windfinders, she was willing to wager, had honored places in their societies, without being bound to supposedly make them safe. It was something to think on. Nynaeve and I are ahead of schedule too, Egwene. Jorin has been teaching me to work the weather. You would not believe the size of the flows of air she can weave. And between us we've had Wave Dancer moving as fast as he ever has, and that is fast. We should be in Tanchico in another 3 days, maybe two, according to Coeen. She's the sail mistress, the captain. 10 days from Tyr to Tanchico, perhaps. That is, with stopping to talk with every Athaan Mier ship we see. Egwene, the sea folk think Rand is their Coromor.
They do?
Coeen has some of what happened in Tyr wrong. She assumes the Aes Sedai serve Rand now, for one thing. Nynaeve and I thought it best not to put her straight about that. But as soon as she tells another sail mistress, they're all ready to spread the word and serve Rand. I believe they will do anything he asks of them. I wish the Aiel were so accepting, Egwene sighed. Ruark thinks some of them might refuse to acknowledge him, Roydian dragons or no. One fellow, a man called Kuladin, I'm sure would kill him in a minute given half a chance. Elaine took a step forward. You will see that doesn't happen. It was not a question or a request. There was a sharp light in her blue eyes and a bare dagger in her hand. I will do the best I can. Ruark is giving him bodyguards. Elaine seemed to see the dagger for the first time and gave a start. The blade vanished. You must teach me whatever Amys is teaching you, Egwene. It is disconcerting to have things appear and disappear, or suddenly realize I'm wearing different clothes. It just happens. I will, when I have time. She had been in Tel Iron Riad too long already. Elaine, if I am not here when we are supposed to meet next, don't worry. I will try, but I may not be able to come. Be sure to tell Nynaeve. If I do not come, check every night thereafter. I won't be more than one or two late, I'm sure.
If you say so, Elaine said doubtfully.
It will surely take weeks to find out if Leandrin and the others are in Tanchico or not. Tom seems to think the city will be very confused.
Her eyes went to Cullendor, driven half its length into the floor.
Why did he do that, do you think?
He said it will hold the Tyrans to him. As long as they know it's there, they have to know he is coming back. Maybe he knows what he is talking about. I hope so.
Oh, I thought perhaps he was angry about something.
Egwene frowned at her. This sudden diffidence was not like Elaine at all.
Angry about what?
Oh, nothing. It was just a thought.
Egwene, I gave him 2 letters before leaving Tyr. Do you know how he took them?
No, I don't. Did you say something you think might have angered him?
Of course not,
Elaine laughed gaily. It sounded forced. Her dress was suddenly dark wool, stout enough for a hard winter.
I would have to be a fool to write things to make him angry.
Her hair sprang up in all directions, like a crazed crown. She was not aware of it.
I am trying to make him love me, after all. Just trying to make him love me. Oh, why can't men be simple? Why do they have to cause such difficulties?
At least he's away from Berylaine. The wool became silk again, cut even lower than before. Her hair made shimmers on her shoulders to shame the gown's sheen. She hesitated, nibbling her lower lip.
Egwene, if you find the chance, would you tell him I meant what I said in... Egwene? Egwene?
Something snatched Egwene. The heart of the stone dwindled into blackness, as if she were being hauled away by the scruff of her neck. With a gasp, Egwene started awake, heart pounding, staring up the low roof of the night-darkened tent over her head. Only a little moonlight crept in at the open sides. She lay under her blankets. The waist was as cold at night as it was hot during the day, and the brazier that exuded the sweetish smell of dried dung burning gave little warmth beneath her blankets, right where she had lain down to sleep. But what had pulled her back? Abruptly, she became aware of Amice, sitting cross-legged beside her, cloaked in shadows. The wise one's murk-shrouded face seemed as dark and foreboding as the night.
"Did you do that, Amice?" she said angrily. "You have no right to just haul me about. I am Aes Sedai of the Green Aja."
The lie came easily to her lips now.
"And you have no right—"
Amice cut her off with a grim voice. "Beyond the Dragon Wall, in the White Tower, you are Aes Sedai. Here you are an ignorant pupil, a fool child crawling through a den of vipers."
I know I said I would not go to tell Iron Riad without you, Egwene said, trying to sound reasonable. But
something seized her ankles, hauled her feet into the air. Blankets tumbled away, her shift dropped to bunch in her armpits. Upside down, she hung with her face level with that of Amice. Furious, she opened herself to Sayidar and found herself blocked.
You wanted to go off alone. Amice hissed softly. You were warned, but you had to go.
Her eyes seemed to glow in the dark, brighter and brighter.
Never a care for what might be waiting. There are things in dreams to shatter the bravest heart.
Around eyes like blue coals, her face melted, stretched. Scales sprouted where skin had been, her jaws thrust out, lined with sharp teeth.
Things to eat the bravest heart, she growled.
Screaming, Egwene battered vainly at the shield holding her from the true source. She tried to beat at that horrible face, at the thing that could not be Amice, but something gripped her wrists, stretched her taut and quivering in midair. All she could do was shriek as those jaws closed around her face. Screaming, Egwene sat up, clutching at her blankets. With an effort, she managed to snap her mouth shut, but she could do nothing about the shudders that racked her. She was in the tent, or was she?
There was Amis, cross-legged in the shadows, glowing with Saidar. Or was it she? Desperately, she opened herself to the source and nearly howled when she found the barrier again. Tossing the blankets aside, she scrambled across the layered rugs on hands and knees, scattered her neatly folded clothes with both hands. She had a belt knife. Where was it? Where? There.
Sit down, Amis said acerbically, before I dose you for vapors and fidgets. You will not like the taste.
Egwene twisted around on her knees, the short knife held in both hands. They would have trembled if not clutched together around the hilt.
Is it really you this time?
I am myself, now and also then. Sharp lessons are the best lessons. Do you mean to stab me?
Hesitating, Egwene sheathed the knife.
You have no right to—
I have every right. You gave me your word. I did not know Aes Sedai could lie. If I am to teach you, I must know you will do as I say. I will not watch a pupil of mine cut her own throat.
Amis sighed. The glow around her vanished, and so did the barrier between Egwene and Saidar.
I cannot shield you any longer. You are far stronger than I. In the one power you are. You very nearly battered down my shield. But if you cannot keep your word, I do not know that I want to instruct you.
I will keep my word, Amis. I promise I will. But I have to meet with my friends in Tel Iron Riod. I promised them, too. Amis, they might need my help, my advice.
Amis's face was not easy to make out in the darkness, but Egwene did not see any softening.
Please, Amis, you've taught me so much already. I think I could find them wherever they are now. Please don't stop me when there is so much yet for me to learn. Whatever you want me to do, I will.
Braid your hair, Amis said in a flat tone.
My hair? Egwene said uncertainly. It would certainly be no inconvenience, but why?
She wore it loose now, falling below her shoulders, yet it was not that long ago that she had almost burst with pride on the day the women's circle back home had said she was old enough to put her hair in a braid like the one Nynaeve still wore. In the Two Rivers, a braid said you were old enough to be considered a woman.
One over each ear.
Amis's voice was still like a flat rock.
If you have no ribbon to twine in the braids, I will give you some. That is how little girls wear their hair among us. Girls too young to be held to their word. When you prove to me that you can keep yours, you can stop wearing it. But if you lie to me again, I will make you cut your skirts off short, like little girls' dresses, and find you a doll to carry. When you decide to behave as a woman, you will be treated as a woman. Agree to it, or I will teach you no more.
I will agree if you will accompany me when I must meet.
Agree, Aes Sedai. I do not bargain with children, or those who cannot keep their word. You will do as I say, accept what I choose to give, and no more, or else go off and get yourself killed on your own. I will not aid it.
Egwene was glad of the dark. It hid her scowl. She had given her word, but this was all so unfair. No one was trying to hedge Rand around with silly rules. Well, perhaps he was different. She was not sure she wanted to trade Amis's edicts for Cooladin's desiring to put a spear through her, in any case. Matt would certainly not put up with other people's rules. Yet, Ta'veren or not, Matt had nothing to learn. All he had to do was be. Very likely he would refuse to learn anything given the chance, unless it had to do with gambling or raising food. She wanted to learn. Sometimes it seemed an unending thirst. However much she absorbed, she could not quench it. That still did not make it fair.
Only the way things are, she thought ruefully.
I agree, she said. I will do as you say. Accept what you give, and no more.
Good.
After a long pause, as if waiting to see whether Egwene wanted to say more, she wisely held her tongue. Amis added,
I mean to be hard on you, Egwene, but not without purpose.
That you think I have taught you much already only shows how little you knew to begin. You have a strong talent for the dream. Very likely you will outstrip any of us by far one day. But if you do not learn what I can teach you, what we four can all teach you, you will never develop that talent fully. It is most likely you will not live long enough to do so.
I will try, Amice.
She thought she managed a good approximation of meekness. Why did the woman not say what she wanted to hear? If Egwene could not go to tell Irunriad alone, then Amice had to come too when she next met Elaine. Or it might be Nynaeve next time.
Good. Do you have anything else to say?
No, Amice.
The pause was longer this time. Egwene waited as patiently as she could, hands folded on her knees.
So you can hold your demands inside when you wish, Amice said at last, even if it does make you twitch like a goat with the itch.
Do I mistake the cause?
I can give you an ointment.
No?
Very well. I will accompany you when you must meet your friends.
Thank you,
Egwene said primly. A goat with an itch, indeed. In case you did not listen when I first told you, learning will be neither easy nor short. You think you have worked these last days. Prepare to give real time and effort now.
Amice, I will learn as much as you can teach me, and I will work as hard as you want. But between Rand and the Dark Friends, time to learn may turn out to be a luxury and my purse empty.
I know, Amice said wearily. He troubles us already. Come, you have wasted enough time with your childishness. There is women's business to be discussed. Come, the others are waiting.
For the first time, Egwene realized Moiraine's blankets were empty. She reached for her dress, but Amice said,
That will not be needed. We only go a short way. Throw a blanket around your shoulders and come. I have done a great deal of work for Randall Thor already, and I must do more when we are finished.
Shrugging a blanket around her doubtfully, Egwene followed the older woman into the night. It was cold. Skin turning to tight goosebumps, she hopped from barefoot to barefoot over stony ground that seemed little short of ice. After the heat of day, the night seemed as frigid as the heart of a Two Rivers winter. Her breath turned to thin mist in front of her mouth, absorbed immediately by the air. Cold or not, the air was still dry. At the rear of the Wise One's camp stood a small tent she had not seen before, low like the others, but staked tightly down all around. To her surprise, Amice began stripping off her clothes, then motioned her to do the same. Clenching her teeth to keep them from chattering, she followed Amice's example slowly. When the Aiel woman had shed down to her skin, she stood there just as if the night were not freezing, taking deep breaths and flailing herself with her arms before finally ducking inside. Egwene darted after her with alacrity. Damp heat hit her like a stick between the eyes. Sweat popped out of every pore. Moiraine was already there, and the other wise ones, and Avienda, all bare-skinned and sweating, sitting around a large iron kettle full to the brim with sooty stones. Kettle and stones alike radiated heat. The Aes Sedai looked mostly recovered from her ordeal, though there was a tightness around her eyes that had not been there before. As Egwene was gingerly finding a place to sit, no layered rugs here, only rocky ground, Avienda scooped a handful of water from a smaller kettle at her side and tossed it into the larger one. The water hissed to steam, leaving not even a damp spot on the stones. Avienda had a sour look on her face. Egwene knew how she felt. Novices in the tower were also given chores. She was not sure if she had hated scrubbing floors more than pots or the other way around. This task did not look nearly so onerous.
We must discuss what to do about Randall Thor, Bear said when Amice was seated too.
Do about him, Egwene said, alarmed. He has the signs. He is the one you have been looking for.
He is the one, Milane said grimly, brushing long strands of red-gold hair from her damp face. We must try to see that as many of our people as possible survive his coming. Just as importantly, Siana said, we must assure that he survives to fulfill the rest of the prophecy. Milane glared at her, and Siana added in a patient tone, else none of us will survive. Ruark said he would set some of the Jindo for bodyguards, Egwene said slowly. Has he changed his mind? Amis shook her head. He has not. Randall Thor sleeps in the Jindo tents with 100 men awake to see he wakes as well. But men often see things differently than we. Ruark will follow him, perhaps oppose him in decisions he thinks are wrong, but he will not try to guide him. Do you think he needs guiding? Moiraine arched an eyebrow at that, but Egwene ignored it. He has done what he had to without guidance so far. Randall Thor does not know our ways, Amis replied. There are 100 mistakes he could make to turn a chief or clan against him, to make them see a wetlander instead of he who comes with the dawn. My husband is a good man and a fine chief, but he is no peace talker, trained to guide angry men to ground their spears. We must have someone close to Randall Thor who can whisper in his ear when he seems ready to step wrongly. She motioned Avienda to throw more water on the hot rocks. The younger woman complied with a sullen grace. And we must watch him, Milane put in sharply. We must have some idea of what he means to do before he does it. The fulfillment of the prophecy of Roydian has begun. It cannot be halted short of its end one way or another, but I mean to see that as many of our people survive as is possible. How that can be managed depends on what Randall Thor intends. Bear leaned toward Egwene. She seemed to be all bone and sinew. You have known him from childhood. Will he confide in you? I doubt it, Egwene told her. He does not trust as he used to. She avoided looking at Moiraine. Would she tell us if he did confide? Milane demanded. I raise no anger here, but Egwene and Moiraine are Aes Sedai. What they seek may not be what we seek. We served Aes Sedai once, Bear said simply. We failed them then. Perhaps we are meant to serve again. Milane flushed with obvious embarrassment. Moiraine gave no sign that she saw, or that she had heard the woman's earlier words for that matter. Except for that tightness around her eyes, she looked as calm as ice. I will help as I can, she said coolly, but I have little influence with Rand. For the present, he weaves the pattern to his own design. Then we must watch him closely and hope, Bear sighed. Avienda, you will meet Randall Thor when he wakes each day, and do not leave him until he goes to his blankets at night. You will stay as close to him as the hair on his head. Your training must come as we can manage, I fear. It will be a burden on you doing both things, but it cannot be avoided. If you talk to him, and especially listen, you should have no trouble remaining near him. Few men will send away a pretty young woman who listens to them. Perhaps he will let something slip. Avienda grew stiffer by the word. When Bear finished, she spat, I will not. Dead silence fell, and every eye swung to her, but she stared back defiantly. Will not, Bear said softly. Will not. She seemed to be tasting words strange in her mouth. Avienda, Egwene said gently. No one is asking you to betray Elaine, only to talk to him. If anything, the former Maiden of the Spear looked even more eager to find herself a weapon. Is this the discipline maidens learn now? Amis said sharply. If it is, you will find we teach a harder. If there is some reason you cannot stay near to Randall Thor, speak it. Avienda's defiance wilted a trifle, and she mumbled inaudibly. Amis's voice took on a knife edge. I said speak it. I do not like him, Avienda burst out. I hate him. Hate him. Had Egwene not known better, she would have thought her close to tears. The words shocked her, though. Surely Avienda could not mean it.
We are not asking you to love him or take him to your bed, Sianna said acidly. We are telling you to listen to the man, and you will obey.
Childishness, Amice snorted. What kind of young women is the world producing now? Do none of you grow up?
Bear and Malaine were even sharper, with the older woman threatening to tie Avienda on Rand's horse in place of his saddle. She sounded as if she meant it precisely, and Malaine suggesting that instead of sleep, Avienda should perhaps spend the night digging holes and filling them in to clear her head. The threats were not intended to coerce her, Egwene realized. These women expected and intended to be obeyed. Any useless labor Avienda earned herself would be for being stubborn. That stubbornness seemed to be shrinking. With four sets of wise one's eyes boring at her, she settled into more of a defensive crouch on her knees, but she was holding on. Egwene leaned over to put a hand on Avienda's shoulder.
You've told me we are near sisters, and I think we are. Will you do it for me? Think of it as looking after him for Elaine. You like her too, I know. You can tell him she says she meant what she said in her letters. He will like hearing that.
Avienda's face spasmed.
I will do it, she said, slumping. I will watch him for Elaine. For Elaine.
Amice shook herself.
Foolishness. You will watch him because we told you to, girl. If you think you have another reason, you will find you are painfully mistaken. More water. The steam is fading.
Avienda hurled another handful onto the rocks as though hurling a spear. Egwene was glad to see her spirit returning, but she thought she would caution her when they were alone. Spirit was all very well, but there were some women, these four wise ones, for example, and Swan Sanche, with whom it was common sense to keep a check on your spirit. You could shout at the women's circle all day, and you still ended up doing what they wanted anyway, wishing you had kept your mouth shut.
Now that that is settled, Bear said, let us enjoy the steam in silence while we can. There is much for some of us yet to do tonight, and for nights to come if we are to bring a gathering to Alcaer Dal for Randall Thor. Men always find ways to make work for women, Amice said. Why should Randall Thor be different?
Quiet settled over the tent except for the hiss when Avienda tossed more water on the hot rocks. The wise ones sat with hands on knees, breathing deeply. It was really quite pleasant, even relaxing. The damp heat, the slick cleansing feel of sweat on the skin. Egwene thought it was worth missing a little sleep. Moiraine did not look relaxed, though. She stared at the steaming kettle as if seeing something else, far off.
Was it bad?
Egwene said softly, so as not to disturb the wise ones.
Roydian, I mean?
Avienda looked up quickly, but said nothing.
The memories fade,
Moiraine said, just as quietly. She did not look away from her distant vision, and her voice was almost chill enough to take away the heat in the air.
Most are already gone.
Some I knew already. Others. The wheel weaves as the wheel wills, and we are only the thread of the pattern. I have given my life to finding the dragon reborn, finding Rand, and seeing him ready to face the last battle. I will see that done, whatever it requires. Nothing and no one can be more important than that. Shivering despite her sweat, Egwene closed her eyes. The Aes Sedai did not want comforting. She was a lump of ice, not a woman. Egwene settled herself to trying to recapture that pleasant feeling. She suspected such would be few and far between in the days to come.